take this opportunity also to pray for those men and women who presently wear the uniform and who are guarding the gates of freedom. We pray for their protection, and we pray that God would bless them. We pray for our nation this morning. It is deeply divided, and we pray that God would heal our wounds. I would ask that you specifically pray for the state certification process of the election, as each individual state will go through that certification process beginning this week. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for these men and women who have served our country so sacrificially. I thank you that they have earned us the right to stand and sit here in this place and worship your matchless name. We pray for those men and women that are currently serving, and we just ask that you would protect them, that you would give them success in their ventures. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with our nation. We pray that you would bind up our wounds and our divisions, and that you would make us one unto you. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm continuing my sermon series on the Red Sea Lessons, inspired by Dr. Morgan's book, Red Sea Rules, and I'm so pleased to hear how many of you have bought the book. I know that our music staff under Lee's leadership have bought the book, and they're going through it as I'm preaching this series. It's not too late to buy that little bitty book. It's short, but it's so well written, and it's a wonderful companion piece to this Red Sea Lessons series that I'm preaching to you. And today is lesson 6 in this 9-lesson study, and I hope that you're ready to learn about that 6th lesson, which is God's permanent presence. And I invite you to turn with me in your Bible to the Old Testament book of Exodus, the 2nd book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 through 20. And I would like to go ahead, as you are finding that scripture, and read that scripture to you, those two verses, Exodus 14, beginning in verse 19. It says there, "And the angel of the Lord, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and moved to be a pillar of cloud, went before them and stood behind them." Verse 20. "So it was between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness in one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other at all that night." Now, the first thing I want us to see here is that expression in verse 19, the angel of the Lord. What does the angel of the Lord mean? Well, this is a pre-incarnate appearance of no less than the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the Old Testament, and we know what the word pre means. It means before. We know that carne means flesh, and so incarnation before Jesus was made flesh when he was born on that first Christmas night in the New Testament. And you might be surprised to know that there are many times in the Old Testament that Jesus shows up in his pre-incarnate appearance. Often Bible students call this a theophany or a Christophany, and we see it all the way throughout the Old Testament. We see it when Abram was being ministered to by the angel of the Lord and being assured of the fact that he would have a son. Of course, that was Isaac. We see it in Abram's grandson, Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And Jacob asked the angel, "What is your name?" And we find out that he was the angel of the Lord, the pre-existent, are the pre-incarnate presence of no less than Jesus himself. And so Jesus just isn't in the New Testament. He's all over the Bible. He's on every page of the Bible if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. And we certainly see him today in this wonderful lesson from the Red Sea experience of Israel in his permanent presence. And I want us to notice three things about his permanent presence. First of all, his direction. Read with me again, verse 19. It says, "And the angel of the Lord," remember, this is a pre-incarnate appearance of no less than Jesus himself. It is a theophany or a Christophany. It's Jesus, "who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them." And so here is God before and behind the camp of Israel. And it goes on to say, "and the pillar of cloud." Now, what's the pillar of cloud? This is also God who was present permanently with Israel in their wanderings throughout the wilderness. So the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. You got the picture here? Here is this multitude of Israelites. They are backed up to the Red Sea. They have nowhere to go. And Pharaoh and his armies, his horses and his chariots and his spears are on the other side. And so when it says the angel of the Lord was before them, obviously that pillar of cloud was to give them direction, to show them where to go, to give them guidance. They didn't know which way to turn. And so they needed a leader, and God in his permanent presence provided direction for them. And he does it for us too. I want to thank you again for allowing Amy and me to be away for a time of vacation in September. We went up to the North Georgia Mountains and had a wonderful time up there. And we were eating supper in Ellijay one night. And just on the spur of the moment, very spontaneous, we decided we were going to drive the few miles to the Fort Mountain State Park. We'd heard a lot about it. And so it was beginning to be dusk after supper, but we went ahead and tried, and so we drove way up into the mountain there at Fort Mountain State Park, and it was obvious when we got there there were not a lot of people going into the park. We paid our dollar in the little metal receptacle there and spoke to one of the employees there who gave us guidance to what we really wanted to see, and that was the overlook at the very apex of the Mountain State Park. He says, "Now you're going to have to park your car, and then you're going to hike up this steep, rocky trail to get to the overlook." And so we were one of the few cars in the parking lot. It was kind of spooky in that regard, but we got out of our car, and we hiked up the steep trail with rocks and boulders and branches across it. We saw a few bear warning signs, but we didn't know if that was bear season or not. But when we got to the summit, it was sunset, and there was a couple with their adult son that was going back down to their cars, taking the steep descent back to their cars. And the lady warned us about bears, saying that her adult son had seen a bear that day. So that kind of stayed in the back of my mind, and I remembered the training we got when we were up in Canada at the Glacier Peace Park up there. We were one of the few tourists in that part of Canada, and we were given instructions if we saw a bear, just to make as much noise as possible, bring a Coke can and have it full of rocks and rattle it, because bears will shy away from that kind of noise. And if you actually do encounter a bear, to just raise your hands over your shoulders above your head, and that makes you look bigger than what you are. And so we were keeping all this in the back of our mind and kind of coaching each other as we went up this steep climb to the overlook of Mountain State Park. And We got there, and it was a beautiful sunset, and we just decided to stay there until it got dark because we hoped to get a glimpse of the Milky Way. And when we got up there and were just enjoying the solitude, looking out over the city of Chatsworth, we just really worshiped the Lord. But one thing we hadn't taken into account was that it was so dark that when we started back, we could not see our hand in front of our face. And we had a steep descent with a curvy path that had boulders and rocks and branches. And so we didn't know what we were going to do. And then Amy reminded me that our cell phones had flashlight apps on them. And so we both got our flashlight apps out, and Amy was in front of me. She illuminated the path in front of her, and I used my cell phone to shine it down on our feet so that we could see one step at a time as we went down the illuminated path. And it reminded me of Psalm 119, verse 11, where the psalmist says, God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now let me explain to you that verse in Bible days. When the psalmist was talking about a lamp unto his feet, he was talking about a lamp that literally shot a column of light down at your feet and illuminated one step at a time. That's what I was doing with my flashlight as I shined it down on Amy and me, as we could see one step at a time where we're going. And as Amy took her flashlight out in front and illuminated the path ahead of us, it was what the second half of Psalm 119:11 talks about, and that is being a light unto our path. And so this book right here illuminates our steps one step at a time, and then it illuminates our path ahead of us. And I actually quoted that as we were going down the hillside, just thanking God for his word and how it was illustrated in that very teachable moment. You know, God is giving you direction. He is giving you guidance through his holy, inspired word. If you only have eyes to see and ears to hear, God will point the way that you need to go. Some of you right now today are struggling over a decision. You're going through a hard time right now, just like Israel was. And you don't know which way to turn. Turn to God's word, and he will direct you and guide you, especially Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Some of you don't know what the next step for you is at school or at work or in your home, your family, and God wants you to know his perfect will, but you won't know it apart from his word. And so trust him. Trust his word to give you guidance. Now, back to our scripture, this time in verse 20, Exodus 14, verse 20, we've seen how the pillar of cloud in front of the children of Israel gave them guidance and direction. It oriented them to where they needed to go. But what was the pillar of cloud and the angel of God doing behind them? It was guarding their rear guard, because in their rear guard were the hostile Egyptian armies. And so it stood between them and their foes, which leads me to the second point. God's permanent presence, we see his direction, and we see, number two, his defense. Read with me there, verse 20 of Exodus chapter 14. It says, so it, that's the pillar of cloud, came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Oh, dear friend, God offers His protection to us during difficult days. Here we see it as God standing, literally standing between Israel and her enemies. As I was preparing this message, I thought about those people who stand between us and evil. I've already mentioned our men and women who guard the gates of freedom, those who wear the uniform today, and we're grateful for them. We should pray for them. But not only them, here locally, I was thanking God this week for our local law enforcement, for those men and women who protect our people and our property, and their job has become more and more difficult in recent months and weeks, and they deserve our encouragement. They deserve our prayers. I see some of them scattered throughout our congregation. They're not in uniform today, but we do also have a security officer back in the back, and you ought to go up to that security officer and others that you know and say thank you for defending us, for protecting our people and our property. It's been difficult days, and people have looked to their own security, and the security industry is growing exponentially. It's growing 3% per year. It is estimated by the year 2025 that the security industry worldwide will be $1.6 billion. People are concerned about their safety. So much that at the first of this week before the election, did you notice how many cities were boarding up their businesses because they were trying to protect their property? They were fearful about what might happen with hostile riots. You know, there's even people that I've heard about on the local news outlets that are investing in doomsday timeshares. Have you heard about these things? One is called Camp or Ranch Fortitude Ranch in Colorado. Now, I've seen pictures of it on TV. They have underground bunkers. They have food squirreled away in different locations. And people all this week leading up to the election have been going out to Colorado and other places across the United States. There's another Fortitude Ranch in West Virginia. And they've been going to these places. Why? Out of fear. Out of fear about the future. And I want you to know, Amy and I are not going to Fortitude Ranch because Psalm 46 tells us that God is our refuge and strength. He is our very present help in trouble. Because of the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 1, after Abram had defeated four hostile armies, he said in praise to God, "You are my shield." Oh, friend, you have one that can defend you better than yourself or anyone else can. Even here in this scripture, if you'll remember, we looked at verse 14 in chapter 14 and see what the Lord is quoted as saying to Moses in Exodus 14, verse 14. It says, "The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace." Isn't it wonderful to know that God is standing in the gap between us and our enemies, and we don't have to be fearful? We're grateful to God for His protection. But whenever we look at His permanent presence here, we also notice that there's not only a statement about His direction and His defense, but there's also a statement about His duration. How long did this pillar of cloud stay with Israel? A lot of us assume that it just stayed with them until they crossed the Red Sea, but that's not so. I want you to take a right-hand turn in your Bible. You're in Exodus chapter 14. You can lose your place there. Go all the way to the end of Exodus. Exodus chapter 38, and go to the very last verse in the book of Exodus. If you want to know how long this divine presence, this pillar of cloud stayed with Israel, go to the last verse in Exodus. Chapter 43, or chapter 40, and verse 38. And there you will see with me how long God's presence lasted with Israel in her wanderings. Verse 38, chapter 40, it says, "For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel." And this is the phrase I want you to see, the last phrase in the book of Exodus. "Throughout all their journeys." God never left them nor forsook them. I've quoted that verse so many times in my preaching ministry. God has promised that He will never leave us or forsake us. But it wasn't until this week when I was studying for this sermon that I realized that it appears three times in Scripture. And the reference each time is to the children of Israel in their Red Sea experience. The first time that that promise from God, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," is found is in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 5. Deuteronomy is kind of a parallel story to Moses and his leading the children of Israel through their wilderness experience. And Deuteronomy 31 or 33 is one of, or 30 is one of the few, or is one of 31 is one of the scriptures that tells us about the death of Moses. And so as Moses was about to die, God says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And then Moses dies. The next time we see God saying, "I will never leave you or forsake you," is in the very next book out of Deuteronomy. That's the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 5. Moses has died. Joshua is now leading the children of Israel. And they are 3 days from crossing the Jordan River into the promised land. And on the very precipice of that occasion, God says to them again, "I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." Where's the third time that God makes that promise, "I will never leave you, nor forsake you"? It's in the New Testament. All of these are in the Old Testament around the Red Sea experience. The third and final time is toward the end of the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5, where God is quoted again that, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Oh, dear friend, His presence endures throughout all time. You know, the presidential terms are limited in their duration, but Jesus is on His throne all the time. He will never leave His throne. And we look to Him, not to our governmental leaders for hope. We look to Jesus because He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're grateful to God for Him. You know, as I was wrapping up this sermon and writing my notes, I noticed that there is a New Testament promise by Jesus in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 28, that covers all three of these points that I've made to you today about God's direction, God's defense, and God's duration. It's when Jesus was speaking in John 10, and He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." I'm out front, just like the pillar of cloud. And they follow Me as I give direction. But He continues there and says in verse 28, He says, "I have given them eternal life." I underline that word eternal because it speaks about the duration of our life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is eternal. And another word of duration here is verse 28 continues, "And they shall never perish." Oh, friend, thank God for His duration. Not only His direction and duration, but also His defense, as verse 28 of John 10 ends this way, "Neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand." When you get saved, dear friend, you go into the safety of Jesus' hand. And he says, not even the old devil himself can snatch you out of my hand. You are permanently mine, and if anyone's going to get to you, they got to go through me first. Oh, friend, we thank God today for his permanent presence in our life, for his direction, for his defense, and for his duration. And if you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, if you've never put your faith in him, you can do that right now today. You can say, dear God, I feel so aimless in my life, and I need some guidance, I need some direction. Look to him by faith. Trust him as your Savior and your Lord. You might be here today feeling like the world is just attacking at every angle, and you feel so hopeless, you're anxious, you're worried. Don't be one more day. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be your defense. He will fight for you. And don't worry about, well, I'll be saved until I mess up. Will God protect me until I sin? Will we all sin? Including myself, I'm the chiefest of sinners, but I have the confidence in the fact that once I am saved, I am eternally saved. As it says in John 10:28, he gives me eternal life. That means life that lasts forever. It's not dependent upon my performance, but totally upon my position in the Lord and his performance on my behalf. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of confidence today? Wouldn't you like to know that God is with you every step of the way in your life? You can, if you will turn your heart toward him today. And I pray that you will.